Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. I'm now joined by Brigadier General Nehemia Dagan, who served in the Israeli Defense Force from 1985 to 1988. He was the Israeli Defense Force's Chief Education Officer, a position that does not exist in any other armed forces. He's currently in the United States on a tour sponsored by J Street, explaining to American communities the need for a two-state solution. You may learn more about it at jstreet.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Brigadier General Nehemia Dagan.
Hello.
Obviously, things could not be bleaker in terms of not just peace between the Israelis and Palestinians, but there's not even a peace process.
This is a tragedy concerning Israel, and what I'm talking now is talking about Israel. I'm not talking about the Palestinian. I'm not talking about the humanitarian problem that they have. I really care about my country, and the fact there is no peace process and the fact that nothing is moving is very bad for Israel. And I can explain why. If we keep this situation as it is, meaning forever, we hold these territories forever, in 5 years, in 3 years, in a matter of fact, we are the minority in the area. The Jews are the minority in the area. Now, there are two options to keep the Jewish state. Is to keep the Arabs in this territory second-class citizens. So this is Jewish state. It's not a democracy, and it can be done. Cannot be done. You know, sooner or later we will be forced by others to make it a state for everybody, and this is the end of the Jewish state. The second danger is that they will not tolerate this situation. The Palestinians. And they will start terror. They start terrorizing us. Terrorize, and nobody knows how to fight terror. People that say they have a Jewish, Arab state, Palestinian state, it will be another state to fight with us in a war. We know how to fight wars. We don't know how to fight terror. So terror is the next option. And the third thing is that I'm really scared that the Arabs at some point will decide to do the contrary. They will decide, okay, let's keep the situation as it is. And in 10 years, they are the majority, and it's the end of us either way, and I explained it before. So that's why I believe that we have to move the process as quick as we can, as soon as possible.
Well, in terms of the so-called war on terror, which, of course, is a term from our former president, George W. Bush, my understanding is actually that the Palestinian Authority, that is Abbas's group, actually cooperate with Israel in terms of diminishing and reducing terrorist acts from their territory. Is that not the case?
That's right. This is the case. But they are doing it expecting that it will be another stage. They will not keep it this way forever without any advance. And this is the tragedy. Because if we will not give them any future, a future for a Palestinian state, and future meaning negotiations, the Hamas will tell them, you see, you are cooperating with them, and they use you to protect themselves against terror, but giving you nothing. And it grows, and the Hamas will tell them, the only thing that the Israelis understand is power. And what will happen, you can imagine by yourself. You don't need me to explain to you.
Well, I think also you have to factor in, surely, these tectonic movements in the Arab world with the Arab Spring. The younger generation of Palestinians are much more impatient, surely, than the people that Israel's been negotiating with for so long. And in fact, you recall the recent leakage of the so-called Palestinian papers to Al Jazeera. They suggested to the Arab world that the Palestinian leadership was being, totally smoked, to use a slang word, by the Israelis.
No, that's what they say. And we have to avoid this situation, because if you ask me, in the meantime, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So what isn't happening then, General Dagan? What isn't happening is what? Netanyahu and Barak? I mean, what are they doing?
What's not happening is Netanyahu and Barak declared that they are ready to meet the Palestinians, no matter there is an agreement between the PLO and Hamas or not, no matter what they say, let's sit near the table and start to negotiate. And we will not stand before we come to a terms, not in everything, but at least about the borders. borders and the security measures. That's all. And then after we agree on the border security measure, we go slice by slice and we solve all the problems because all the problems are solvable. My experience shows that all the problems are solvable once there is a notion of the two sides to solve them.
But what you've just told us is what you think they should do, right? It's not what they are doing.
No, they are not doing it. But you know what? They will do it. At the end of the day, they will do it because if they will not do it, two things will happen. Number one, an economic crisis, because look what's happening in Israel today. And people in Israel start to understand that the money that is pouring, the government is pouring into the settlements, is relative to nothing. It's unbelievable how much money they pour in this place. And this is coming on account of the Israelis in the green lines. That's number one. And number two, a military catastrophe. I mean, another intifada. It's very tragic that we learn only from catastrophes.
And General, again, the tent city that's taking place, the demonstrations that have been taking place in Israel, they clearly are a manifestation of a kind of economic distress that in many ways we have here in the United States, although our people aren't taking to the streets. I take it that the Israeli economy has headed in a direction where there's a greater and greater disparity of wealth between the few at the top and then the rest.
That's right.
And you think
But the difference between America and Israel is that in America, it's a big country, people do not know each other. In Israel, people know each other, see each other, serve in the same service in the reserves or in the military. Everything is closed, and people in Israel are asked to give over and beyond what it's not asked in America. Israel to exist still need the individual to give over and beyond. And when the situation is this youngster cannot, they are not ending the month with a salary, and they have to give over and beyond, and they see the gate, and they see the people in the other side of the gate, it will lead to something more than just demonstrations.
So, but these young demonstrators, a part of what they're protesting is the how much money goes to the West Bank settlements. Is that that's a palpable irritation, is it?
Yes, they understand that they don't have it because it goes to the settlements.
So this is a far cry from the sort of socialist kibbutzim model of the founders, right?
No, yes, we are far away from there, and too far. I don't think that we have to become to stay a socialist or to be a socialist country.
Right.
But at least we went too far to the free economy, and it's not suitable. You know, we adapt everything that America does, and we are still not in the place that we can adapt everything like this economy of the I don't know. I will say it in English, but in Israel, it's the pig behavior.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Well, we cannot survive this way.
Right. No, I think you've put it very clearly. Over the years, General Dagan, I've spoken to a lot of people, including the late Prime Minister Rabin, and also Yehoshaphat Hakabi. Do you remember him, former head of military intelligence?
Hakabi, sure.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the first generals to talk about a two-state solution. It's always struck me as a great irony that people don't seem to understand that the people who have called for a Palestinian state from the very beginning in Israel have been senior military officials.
Yeah, because we understand, we know, because we participated in so many wars, we know that the wars solve nothing. We know that we don't know how to fight terror. We understand, and our life was devoted to the country for, you know, from the beginning, and we don't have kind of a... we think about our political future. This is not us. And what drives Bibi Netanyahu now, I'm sorry to say, but it is a political future of the next 18 months. This is his future. And that's what drives him, the coalition, and not what's good for Israel.
Well, but given the coalition politics of Israel, is there anything you can do? I mean, Henry Kissinger once made the remarks that Israel doesn't have a foreign policy, they just have domestic politics.
That's right. You saw Bibi in the Congress. That's what he did there.
Mm-hmm. What can be done? I mean, for a while there, a lot of people thought that Kadima was the answer, and they just kind of fizzled.
I tell you what, that's why we are here. I believe that there are four parties in this to solve this problem. The four parties are Israel, the Palestinians, America, and the European Quartet. These are the four parties. Once two parties decide to sit and to talk, this is the end of the conflict. The two parties can be Israel and the Palestinians. The two parties can be America and Europe to bring us to the table. Because at the end of the day, we have to be in both sides of the table. If you ask me if there is a way that America can bring us to the table, I believe yes, not by sanctions. I am totally opposing sanctions, even to the Palestinian state. Now, there is in the Congress a legislation to stop aid to the Palestinians and the UNRWA. Big mistake, because you are turning the people to be desperate. Desperate people are not good partners for negotiations. Since I know that between 70 and 80% of the Israelis agree that the solution is a two-state solution, and this is the number, 70 to 80, the only thing that they are afraid, and Netanyahu is kind of he puts fire in this fear all the time. This is his policy, to make the Israelis afraid, terrified from this agreement. If the America and the Europeans will come and they will say, listen, we are here to protect the agreement, and it will be a good agreement, so this is the solution. So my suggestion is that America and Europe will find a way. Maybe the way is to send Clinton and the father, Bush, to Israel to be a mediator. Mm-hmm. And to find other ways to push Israel and the Palestinians to sit and talk. No sanctions.
Well, we know, General Dagan, that just recently President Obama was forced to go to the State Department and make a speech about Israel-Palestine because of the arrival of Netanyahu, who was invited to the Congress to speak. And the Congress is not supposed to make foreign policy. The president is. So the president, I think, felt his prerogatives were being attacked and felt he had to get the jump on Netanyahu. And as you know from the way the Congress responded to Netanyahu's speech, there was a great deal of support for him. But most people attribute that to the effectiveness of AIPAC. And Mike, and I know that you're working with J Street, which is an alternative to AIPAC. And I guess the argument could be made, surely, that one of the reasons why the United States has not been an active and honest broker is because you can make the case that AIPAC has been so successful that it's actually a victim of its own success. In other words,
first of all, the majority of the Jews in America are not supporting the policy of AIPAC. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, what AIPAC says to them is that we support any governmental decision whatsoever. That's what AIPAC said. We are not questioning what the government is doing. And I gave them an example, the people that I talk. I said, listen, my daughter is getting divorced. And she doesn't have a fuse at all. She is immediately exploding. And I'm trying to tell her, you are doing wrong here and wrong there. And she said to me, Father, your only role is to support me. That's what AIPAC says. My answer to her was, if you are going standing now on the wall and on the roof and want to jump, I will support you. And this is the issue. AIPAC support everything, but if you analyze what they're supporting stand still, and this is the end of Israel. This is the problem. I am afraid that in the AIPAC there are some people that number one, they say that they think, yes, that we have to stay and to have the great Israel. People, I don't know if from AIPAC, but people that are influential to AIPAC. And that's my fear. And the others support the notion that, you know what, to establish a state take more than 60 years. So maybe we'll be in a war for 100 years with the Palestinians. And at the end of the day, we will do at the end of the day. And when you come to them to this question, at the end of the day, so they have no answer. They have no answer. They just support. I believe that the liberal Jews in America that see the situation as it is, as many, many generals see it, they have to find a way to support their government, to support Obama, to support the notion of bringing us, the two parties, to the negotiation table.
Well, I think that the point I was trying to make, General Dagan, is that by being having such influence in Congress, the AIPAC have become victims of their own success, in as much as the Americans have never gotten off the dime. They've never been the honest broker. They have. There's no incentive for America to act, and it's like an echo chamber, you know. And nothing's been achieved. So one would hope that the expression I've heard in relation to the relationship is that it's an assisted suicide pact.
I think so.
Yeah. Just in closing, then, give us a sense of what liberal Jews who are listening to us, and even conservative American Jews who are listening to us, what can they do and what should they do?
They have to understand that the standstill as it is today is bringing Israel to a disaster. They have to understand that without the Palestinian state, the meaning is that the majority of the population in the between the Jordan and the sea will be Arab. They have to understand that the majority of the Palestinians between the two, the sea and the Jordan, is the end of the Jewish state. The only way you can keep it Jewish is by not being democracy, by being South Africa. I believe that every American resists this option. So the only way is to try to convince the government of Israel. And by the way, you know that Ron Lauder, that he is a great supporter of Bibi Netanyahu, said to him, I don't know if you heard about it, you must go and start negotiating with the Palestinians, no matter what your personal future, political future is. Did you hear about it?
No, I didn't, no.
Oh, yeah, Ron Lauder, said to him. And he is a great supporter of it.
Sure.
And I want to tell the American Jews that the right wing in America, people like Sheldon Adelson, they are trying to influence Israeli politics. Sheldon Adelson, he has a newspaper in Israel that supports Bibi Netanyahu. It's a free. And it's terrible that he's direct involvement in Israeli politics. At least I expect from the liberal Jews in America to express their opinion, to support their leaders in the Congress.
Well, I thank you for joining us. It's been a very interesting conversation, General Dagan.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Brigadier General Nehemiah Dagan, who served in the Israeli Defense Force from 1985 to 1988. He was the Israeli Defense Force's chief education officer, a position that does not exist in any other armed forces. He is currently in the United States on a tour sponsored by J Street, explaining to American communities the need for a two-state solution. You may learn more at jstreet.org. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the economic hostage crisis on Capitol Hill.